Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana gather playing some game. But I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the RHAP B&B for episode 12 of Survivor Edge of Extinction. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and I will do my best to not make this podcast awkward. Now, Mike Bloom couldn't be here this week, but in his stead, we have my OG co-host from the days of Hunted, Ron Clark's cousin, Kurt Clark. Kurt, how are you?
I'm great. Have I been downgraded or upgraded from being his son to being his cousin?
Oh, I forgot that's where you landed. Yes. I think we actually
that whole side of the family tree is a little bit fuzzy, so we'll just take either.
Right. Well, I think we actually learned that from Aurora, your brother can also be your dad. So, you know, you can be both the cousin and the son. I think that's okay.
Okay, I'll take it.
All right. Now, we are not alone. We are also joined by the co-host of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, the podcaster's podcaster, the one, the only, Akiva Winokur. Akiva, how are you?
I really can't believe the lengths that Mike went to just to not be on this episode. It's kind of crazy if you think about it.
I think it was you. Yes, he just really didn't want to talk to you. So, okay, so let's get into this season and this episode. So, Akiva, give me your thoughts overall on The Edge of Extinction and then maybe a little bit about this episode.
I like this season. I can't say I love it. I think that we've all sort of been in the same boat, sort of bracing for the train wreck that is probably the most possible, like the most interesting possible thing that could happen, being like person either comes back and wins or a person who's already come back in Devon's wins. And then just like the internet burns to the ground afterwards. I think that's what we're all waiting for, right? Like if a person who gets voted out of this game wins the season, and then like how crazy, even though it seems like it's been not inevitable, but inevitable as like a possibility for a while now. I think people will be like stunned if it does happen, and then it's just going to be chaos on the internet.
I feel like it's one of those things that I know theoretically could happen, but I haven't mentally prepared myself for it actually happening. So we very much could have a Twitter burning everything to the ground type moment. You know, Kurt, I don't know if you sort of feel the same way.
You know, with this latest episode, it seems like everybody else, like let's set Devon's aside, because he is a returnee, but everybody who's not Devon's, it seems like we have a tribe full of supporting characters. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of them would want to hear that, but that's just largely not in terms of like not critiquing their games, but just in terms of like where all the focus has been in the episodes. I mean, I would have said that, you know, rewind 2 weeks after Kelly and David went home and say, okay, so War Dog and Ron are probably like the two biggest characters on there other than Devon's, and they're both gone now. So it's like we've got a very distinct possibility that you're going to have that, you know, Victoria, Gavin, Laurel finale. It's interesting, but then again, which makes me think, because all of the big characters, all the people whose stories we know are now on, you know, exile, obviously, you know, one of those big characters, I don't think we're going to be seeing a Julia come back. We're going to be seeing somebody who has some story weight coming back into the game. And if Devon's is still in the game at that point, then I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think for me, it's really hard to parse out who is going to be in the final three, because like you said, Rick Devon's really is the one big character who's left. So I'm trying to think, okay, what are the stories of the other characters that we know? And they're minimal. I mean, I think Julie is like, oh, it's a little bit of a growth arc between her and the very first episode saying, you know, the only time I've been outdoors is when I peed in the bushes.
Well, she'd be the oldest woman to win by, I think, a bunch of years. So that's like at least a story, right? Because she seems like someone who historically has been a losing finalist, right?
But like, I don't know if that's her narrative. I mean, I think that would be like a cool part at the end. Right. Like, oh yeah, see, and she overcame the mom stereotype, and you know,
wouldn't we have seen more of that already? If you know,
right?
But that's your point for basically all of these people.
Yeah. That who, you know, who's the person that really has a super strong story that's going to stand out? And then, you know, I don't know what to make of any of the Edge of Extinction people. Like, you've got a whole baseball team over there of people that are, you know, cheering during this whole tribal. And I don't know who's going to come back. I mean, I guess you can say the people that we haven't seen anything from, like, probably don't stand a chance. But, you know, I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen.
It seems like the jury is now like a contest of who can have the biggest reactions during Tribal Council. Like, it was Aubrey, but Julia is giving her a run for her money in terms of facial expressions and gasps and then jaw dropping moments. So maybe that's what the challenge would be to get back in. Who, you know, who collectively over the past several weeks has had the biggest, you know, Tribal Council reactions from the jury? OK, you're coming back to the game.
Yeah, she's like up at the top of the cheerleading pyramid up there, like she doing was. A little dance thing. Yeah. Akiva, what did you think about this Tribal Council with Rick and his reactions to the whole Julie Ron thing?
I first of all, I thought the Tribal Council in general, like, we're just allowing the jury to basically, like, they're not allowed to speak, but now they're allowed to, like, openly show who they're rooting for. That's pretty wild. I do think in general, like, don't you think that like, there used to be rules where like, you couldn't stand and run around and, like, strategize a Tribal Council, you know, for about 30 something seasons, and two, like, the jury couldn't make it, like, blatantly clear who they're rooting for. It's pretty interesting.
To me, though, that I'm fine with the flow of communication going in that direction. And maybe I'm not a purist, but, like, to me, that can only damage the games of people still in the game. If everybody sees that the jury is, like, you know, gung ho Devins, that's just going to make the people in the game more set to get Devins out. But to me, it's more like, I think when people are if I guess if there's a back and forth communication, I'm not sure, because, you know, there, anything that the people in the game still do is, I guess, you know, communication to the jury. You're, you know, when Devins is up there speaking to Ron and Julie, that's just as much for the jury's benefit. So I don't know. I'm changing my mind mid speech.
It's complicated because they have such a weird relationship. Because yes, they're on the jury, but they're also still technically in the game. So I don't know if that changes the rules or anything. And yeah, what do you do when you're, yeah, performing to the jury, but then also knowing that you could maybe be sitting over there and one of them's going to be coming back? Like, I guess it is the definition of, like, the Facebook relationship. It's complicated. But to go back to the point about, you know, the, like, scuffling around at Tribal, just, I think this was discussed on a podcast this week. So not a fan of it. And we didn't do Casuals Corner this week, but I remember a comment that the Casuals also didn't like all of the scrambling because it's very hard to follow. So I would be all in favor of reinforcing that rule.
Well, the producers must attest it, right? Like, I mean, we know, like, that the producers want to know who's being voted out before they get to Tribal. And you've heard stories about, you know, producers basically getting in huge trouble because they didn't know somebody was playing an idol or something like that. Like, they must, the actual showrunners, like, must be, like, you know, pretty upset about this. But I guess if they're upset, they could always put an end stop to it. So, you know, who knows? Maybe it's all posturing and they're not actually making decisions.
Yeah, because I'd have to think that, all of that whispering, either the microphones that they're hooked up with can pick up everything to a great extent, or they're going to have to be doing a lot of post-council interviewing to figure out, well, what was said at this point, what was said at this point, like, in terms of being able to subtitle things correctly.
Oh, wait, actually, now I'm a huge fan of this idea. So it is the lip dub of Survivor, where we actually just get to make up our own comments about what we think is going on. I think that would be a really great idea.
I like that. Or just, in a previous podcast, I talked about having a Julie Chen sort of, like, narration as people walk to the voting urn and, like, you know, Ron and Julie have, you know, voted together all these times. Well, you know, I'm wondering if we're ever going to see ever a confessional interrupt Tribal Council. I doubt it, but at least, you know, maybe that's the sort of thing you're going to potentially need at some point to explain what happened.
Yeah, especially with all the scrambling. I need a narrator. Okay, well, let's get into some of the main thoroughfare that we have on the B&B, and that is our pre-season predictions. So Mike and I both made pre-season predictions that we wrote way back when about how the players were going to do in the game. And now that Ron Clark is going to go home, I'm going to read what we both predicted for Ron Clark. So the way this is going to work is the two of you will each get to give one of us a point. So, you know, no joint decisions need to be made. You're each your own individual people. And you'll get to pick who had the best prediction, either Mike or myself. So I'm going to go ahead and read Mike's prediction. So Mike predicted that Ron Clark would be pre-merge. He'll be the first to get into an alliance with the returnees, then immediately turn on them when he disapproves of the way that they're leading. Will get called out for excessive idol hunting, becomes an easy consensus boot from the tribe due to his over-scheming and weaknesses and challenges, and decides to leave Extinction. Oh, wait. Okay. I shouldn't read that. Well, okay. And then he goes to Extinction Island, apparently. So that was Mike's prediction. So pre-merge, excessive idol hunting, and maybe not working with the returnees. Any thoughts?
Not looking good for Mike.
Well, this might make things a little better for Mike's prediction. This was my prediction. I also had Ron Clark as pre-jury. And here's what I said. A swap mixes up the tribes, and Ron Clark saw the perfect opportunity to implement his rules and take control of the game. Rule number 54, carpe diem. Although his tribe won the reward challenge, rule 15, do not ask for a reward, they lost the immunity challenge. Ron tried to gather the others on his tribe to take out the vets, but he forgot his own rule number 4, respect other students' comments, opinions, and ideas. The new players had already bonded with the vets, and he refused to vote them out, so they all turned on Ron and voted him out instead. Okay, Akiva.
Yeah.
We'll turn the tables over to you. What do you think? Well, what do you think had the better prediction?
What happened to your AI making these decisions, first of all? I like that.
I know. I made the mistake of trying to do it myself. Clearly, that should have been one of my rules. Always have a computer write your predictions for you.
I think it's pretty close, right? But I think you probably win. Mike always gets more specific than you do, too. Like he gets more,
even when he
more detail, but I think more detail is bad here because you have more things you're just going to get wrong.
He tried to simplify with the bullet points, and then his bullet points started. You know what's that rule in PowerPoints? It's like, you know, only however many bullet points, however many words per bullet point. Yeah, he started failing there, but you know he's got a baby on the way, so I guess you know excuses. But okay, so Akiva. You know, I don't mean to push you or pressure you anyway.
I have you.
Okay, great. Fantastic. Kurt, what do you think?
I was going to go based, before you read the predictions, I was going to go based on two criteria. One, who had him going further, and two, how many Friends or Matthew Perry references there were in the prediction. So the second point kind of is negated in both counts, but you had him at least making a swap. There was no reference to that in Mike's prediction. And also you had him as against the returnees versus joining the returnees. And then there was plenty of call outs to the Ron Clark rule. So I think in my own weighted mindset, you kind of outdid him 3-1. So you get a point.
Okay, I'll take it. I may not have referenced Matthew Perry, but I did reference the Ron Clark rule. So I think yes. That sort of counts. Okay, I do really well when Mike's not here. I don't know why that is. Okay. All right. Awesome. So we settled that. We both did terrible on the predictions in general, though, as having him pre-merge. So Akiva, is there anything in particular about this episode or this season that you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah. I actually had a take on the loved ones visit I was just thinking about from this episode. So I don't know if they show us the order of who's actually being introduced to their loved one in the way it happened, because everyone sort of goes back to where they were. So it would be very easy to just edit it in terms of however they felt like it. But I always thought if there's 7 people left and you're like 5th or 6th, you kind of know like you're right now not the story of the season. You know what I'm talking about? Like the last person gets the hammer, and like the first 1 or 2 always have to be interesting to like get the audience's attention. But those like last couple that usually get rushed through, you'd be like, oh, yeah, nobody cares about me. Like if the spot you don't want to be in is 2nd to last, I feel like. What do you think about that take?
So you think that the order in which the loved ones are released has something to do with how your narrative is in the game?
No, I know it does for sure. But okay. But it's also coupled with how interesting of a person, like, If like your long lost grandma was coming out there and it was like a tear, you know, like the thing that would be most likely to make Probst cry, let's just say, You know, that that would go last, even if you weren't necessarily the focal point of the edit of the game. But, you know, so, for instance, Gavin is not the focal point of the edit of the game, but he goes last. But that's because he has an interesting story, right, that he got married and we didn't know that as the audience. And even the contestants did not know that.
Yeah, I definitely for the last one. For sure. I can totally see that. Like Gavin, for sure. I mean, he even right. Yeah. Like they knew that he was going to have the probably the most emotional meetup, obviously, because he got married 2 days before he left for Survivor. So definitely I can see that. I don't know about the rest of them. And I always maybe this is my naive brain, but I always thought that they did come out in the order that they were edited.
I mean, they might, but there's no I always my philosophy with all
things. I think you do see the loved ones though standing off to the side.
But they don't have to show them after every one. You know what I mean? They can sort of cut it tightly enough that I mean, listen, this isn't like a conspiracy theory. There's no reason for them to do it, but there's also no problem if they are actually editing. It's just a thought I always had. Like you want the hammer of being last first is fine. You don't want to be like, you know, quick hug to your. There was a funny tweet this week from Chris Kelly, who I used to be the head writer of SNL. And like Survivor, you guys should maybe ask him if he wants to come on the show. He's probably funnier than me. He said, like, every time there's a woman who's like dad comes to visit them, Probst is like a little creepy and is like, all right, you like, all right, you want to sit on his lap? Like, you know, he's like very like infantile as them. It's funny.
OK, that's actually a weird point. That does happen, though. I did notice that. Like the one with Lauren, I think it was Lauren and her dad win that award this year. The I don't want to ask what you whispered in your dad's ear somehow
right,
came
that
across.
That is weird.
Across
like what is she saying? Like I'm pregnant? I don't understand.
So I'm looking at the order from this is last season. So David versus Goliath. The last person was Christian and his girlfriend. And actually Angelina and Mike were that second to last and third to last, which were the two losing finalists. Mm-hmm. So does that mean that Aurora and Victoria are going to be our two losing finalists?
Could be.
Could I can see it.
I don't think it's how you're doing in the game. Like as much as like how much you matter to the audience possibly, but also part of it is like, you know, sometimes. It could just be like a sibling and it's not so exciting, or it could be a parent, but there's no story. That's not that interesting. The truth is like, and also one of the, like, just, you know, not to be like casual's corner here, but you know, you're watching this and you're thinking everyone who watches the loved ones visit thinks like, all right, who would I pick? Right. Are you picking parents and child? Or I think more often we could have someone run the stats on this. You're probably picking relationships, right? And obviously siblings always come last. No, unless it's like your only ally in the game and you have like a deal with them beforehand, nobody's picking like a brother and sister to go back to camp.
And I remember back in Exile Island, I think one of the big things when Terry won was there was a whole argument about how, you know, Aris was trying to make the case for like why, you know, that it was important for him to see his mom on the visit. And Terry was like, you know, that you can't even compare that relationship to the relationship between a husband and a wife. And they got into a huge argument about it. So I think that does become kind of part of the thing that people try to kind of rationalize why they picked who they picked.
Maybe that's why Aurora said that, you know, Shane, her brother, was her brother, her father, you know, trying to be like, guys, this matters more to me. Okay. And not just my brother.
Am I the only one who would be super stressed out about like who to pick and like, and if they'd come and who's actually going to show up and like, oh shoot, who's watching my kids or whatever. Like, I feel like that would be very stressful in terms of like actually who your loved one would be.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. No one would show up for me.
Oh,
oh, that's so sad.
Well, do you have an assistant coach, Kurt?
No.
That's right. No, you should have your father/uncle come or whatever Ron Clark's relationship is with you now.
I could have Ron Clark. I could have Ron
Clark.
You
have Clark his hot husband come also. I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, like, I have like a wife and three kids and parents and siblings. Like, you know, I was thinking like I have like 10 people to choose from. Not that I would like pick my sisters, but the.
But like, at least you have a wife.
Yeah, but then who's watching my kids? Like, practically, like, I don't know how that, you know, like,
yeah,
especially if I'm picking my wife and then my parents are like, well, I'm not watching your kids. I wanted to come on Survivor.
Yeah, it's like, I can't see either of my parents coming. I'm not married. I don't have any kids. I'm an only child. So it's like, I've got
we've seen friends. You can have, you, Kurt, do you have a friend? I'll be your friend. Oh.
No.
Yeah, you can pick me. I would love to go to Fiji.
It's a great way to make friends if you have the spot to get on, you know, to get on the loved ones visit. I'm sure you could make, that would be funny if you just like picked the, just like a random guy you met on the street. I think, don't they say that, did Randy Bailey not make his loved one visit, but he had like some, he had no one coming or something like that? Where he had like saw a stranger coming, maybe. Isn't there a story like that?
Mm. Sounds right, but I don't know. I'm
afraid to take a stance on that just in case I'm wrong.
Yeah, that would be hard. That's actually a really good question of who would you pick? Because like, so when I was married, I would have picked my husband. But now that we're divorced, my parents would be like, you know, my parents are divorced too. And so they'd be like fighting over who gets to go. And it'd be like, oh, so clearly you love your mom more. Like, clearly you love your dad more.
By the way, that would throw probes for a loop if someone had their ex-husband or ex-wife on. And probes, just to make it, it would be worth it just to make it so awkward for probes to like, you know, like spin it.
Yes.
Rihanna, what did you just whisper in his ear? I hate you.
Feel like didn't get your alimony check this month. Yeah, that would be like Chris way like, better.
Say hello to your ex, Steve. You just kind of stay standing.
What,
yeah,
what if they did that? It was like forward. it was like a rivals thing. They tricked you, and they like. I feel like the challenge would do that, right? Where it's like this person was mean to you in ninth grade, and now they're like, you know, going to screw over your screw your game because everything you told them. They're going to go tell the other people and try and get you voted out.
I mean, if you're going to try to make airtime, then you definitely pick your rival. Can you imagine doing this challenge with your rival? You like toss the bucket of water. They catch it and just dump it on the
they,
ground.
They like dump it on your head.
Slowly.
Throw it right back at you.
That's a good call because they haven't because the loved ones usually don't participate nowadays, which I think also is you have to they probably have to clear. You know, there's seven people. A lot of times you'll have like a 60 plus year old person who very likely can't get cleared to do a physical challenge. That's my guess. Right. That's why they don't know. I assume they always want to do it. It's just not always feasible. So really, maybe there's if they do it, maybe there is a strategy of like my wife is like very like strong and she could do these things. Like maybe she, you know, should be better than just like, you know, someone's parent who's maybe not super agile.
Yeah, well, then you could be like, hey, can you actually swap places with me? Like, I'll just do the catching and pouring.
Wait,
in the
do you
bucket.
Mean like a wife like swap? You're like, beach. Hey, like Devin's like your wife like, seems like she's better at challenges than mine.
I was like, just tap into my, like, I wish I had, like, connect, like, Michael Phelps coming out. Like, you know.
That was literally my thought. Like, yeah. I was like, my loved one is Olympian Michael Phelps.
Well, but they're not swimming. Shouldn't it be, like, the Hound from, like, Game of Thrones?
You
like, shouldn't it be
know.
Someone who's really strong who could, like, you know, catch all the water or. I mean, I guess it should be, like, a baseball player, right? Who's, like, who's with a good glove
you're
that,
like
that could catch all the water in the bucket.
Like a track and field.
But you're
athlete,
doing the running, right?
Kind of
The survivors were doing the running, so I don't know if you need the, right? You don't really need the track and field athlete.
I think you want height. Like, if it's going to be this challenge, you want height, so I think you want a basketball
player. Well, didn't the tallest
player,
person win it, right? Didn't Ron's husband, who seemed like a big dude, win it?
So, yeah, he did seem really tall. I think we're on to something. Okay, so LeBron James. I loved one.
All right, I don't think I was just thinking. I just said, like, oh, I have, like, 10 people in my immediate family, but now I realize, like, none of them are more than, like, other than my dad, none of them are more than, like, 5'2", so I'm not sure. My daughter is actually like 5'4". Maybe I'll take her, but she's a kid.
Yeah, I think that's okay. Like Boston Powers, Shane's son went out there, so you know you gotta draft.
Was a Caramone where they were allowed two loved ones? Didn't someone also have like somebody and their kid? That's the only other kid I remember. Like child.
I think I know New Zealand had like entire families come out. I remember.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, then maybe you could just bring your whole family. Then, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about who you're going to piss off.
Like Sherry, maybe I'm hallucinating this in Caramoan that they would like everyone had two. Like, didn't Cochran have both his parents on that boat?
Yeah, I remember both his parents being there. Like, I mean, I really remember his dad barbecuing. Let's see. No, that was just one. Cochran's mom. But maybe they like met up later.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise that there was a second one.
Oh, man, I'm supposed to be on This Week in Survivor History later. This does not bode well.
I'm
going
to tell Kalish to. This is really the week of Liana. I don't know if people know this, but you're on this podcast, which I guess you're always on. And then you're on This Week in Survivor History, or just This Week in Survivor, I think it's called. You haven't really, clearly you haven't listened once this year because there's no H. And And you're on RANAP this week also. What a big week for Liana and the Liana stance.
I know.
And Drag Race.
I know. I'm recording four podcasts.
Oh my God.
It's intense. Okay. All right. So not to get a little inside loved ones baseball. Kurt, Mike has apparently prepared a game and you are here to host it. So what has Mike and Jonathan Troyer, I think, had some help in preparing? What do you have for us?
Jonathan had gone on to the Rotten Tomatoes page for the movie that is in the hearts and minds of all Survivor watchers, the Ron Clark story. And we're going to be taking a look at the reviews that were left by the fans, the casuals, if you will, what they thought about the Ron Clark story. So what I'm going to read to you are we've got five questions, multiple choice. For each one, you're going to hear three actual Rotten Tomatoes user reviews of the Ron Clark story and one fake one. And it is up to you to figure out which one is real and which one is the fake one.
OK,
because there'll be three real and one fake. There are five questions. So I'm going to say, you know what, let's just you'll each give an answer and then we'll just see who gets the most points. Mm-hmm. After five.
Yeah.
Does that sound fair?
That works for me.
OK, so first question or first set of reviews, I should say. Number one from Brandon T, best Hallmark movie to date.
Was it a Hallmark movie? OK, all right. Yeah, keep going.
Number two, one of the bestest movies ever. Got to see, especially if you have kids. This is what you would hope and want for a teacher for them. that was five stars. Mm-hmm. Third from Kyle S. I wish my teachers was that goofy, but good. Three stars. And fourth, Yavuz I is the reviewer. So I may like some cheesy inspirational movies, but hey, I do kind of want to teach and let the forget be remembered. And Ron Clark, good example. That is 3.5 stars. So best Hallmark movie, one of the bestest ever. I wish my teachers was that goofy, but good. Or I may like some cheesy inspirational movies, which is the fake review.
Wow.
Liana.
Okay. Yeah. So was Ron Clark an English teacher? Because I don't know if he would approve of some of these reviews. All right. I have an answer. Do you want to go ahead and say it? All right. I'll say it. Well, does he have to write down an answer too? I don't want him to cheat.
How does
off
this
of
work?
Me.
Can we work on the honor system? I will not cheat at this game since there are no stakes.
Yeah, there are no stakes.
B&B is very important. Okay. I'm going to go with B.
Okay. Yeah, I was deciding between A and B. Akiva? I feel like they got progressively weirder as they went on. But the thing is, we don't know inside the mind of the guy who wrote this. Like, maybe he's like a super clever guy who like, you know, is really trying to trick us. So I'm going to go A. I went A.
The correct answer is actually C. Oh. I wish my teachers was that goofy
slight,
but good.
So sort of mistake in there. Like, the my teachers was that I thought, like, all right, why would he write that? I feel like that's real.
Mm.
And the one about, so I may like some cheesy inspirational movies, but hey, I do kind of want to teach and let the forget be remembered. And Ron Clark, good example. I'm not even going to go into the spelling and grammatical errors on that one.
Ron Clark, well, example.
Yeah. Well played. And you are correct. It is not a Hallmark movie, but that was what one of the reviews was. So after one question, we are at 0-0. And next set of reviews. This is from Dimitriful. As so great, it's like a so great. It's like a tradition to me to watch it at least once a year. I couldn't live without this movie. Five stars. Lucas, I can't believe a teacher would be able to reach kids so fast. Amazing. Four stars. Angela, is Dangerous Minds based on this? 3.5 stars. Annie, there is more to being a teacher than what most people would think there is. Wonder how much longer I am going to believe that. 3.5 stars. We will start with Akiva on this one. Which of those is the fake review?
I'm going to say the Dangerous Minds one, C.
Okay.
I said A, a tradition.
Traditional watches. Yeah. Actually, I can't believe a teacher would be able to reach kids so fast. Amazing is the fake one. All you both guessed real reviews, and I do not believe that Dangerous Minds was based on this.
So. Okay, well, I'm glad that we've cleared that up. Okay. What does it mean to reach kids so fast? You know, I really need to watch this movie for all the talk of it.
Well, it was a fake review, so it doesn't really mean anything in the long run. Potentially the thing behind it is maybe meant to also be to teach kids so fast, but we see typos in these all the time. Okay, review set 3 from Brandon. 2 stars. Gross. Why would anyone chug all that milk? So stupid for someone supposedly smart enough to teach. 3 stars. I've also not seen this film. 3 stars from Costas. Boring, inspirational American dream crap. If you had checked. 4 stars from Taha. It made me cry because of its greatness. And lastly, 4.5 stars from Juss. Well, not only I love Matthew Perry, but I think this movie is great. The story is good. I don't think 6th grade changed your life so much, especially since high school becomes 10 times more problematic. More than one of those kids gived up in high school, but so I guess some did change.
An elementary school teacher cannot matter because high school will screw you up.
Liana.
Okay, what were B and C again? So A was milk. I got that.
B was boring, inspirational American dream crap.
Yeah.
And C was it made me cry because of its greatness.
Okay, I'm gonna hope that C is real. I'm gonna go with B, even though I would believe it if it was a real one.
What was A again?
Akiva. Gross. Why would anyone chug all that milk? This is so stupid.
I'm gonna pick A. But if A is real, I want to know so much more about the milk.
The correct answer is A.
So no milk on the board at 1 point.
Now, damn it!
I would have watched this if it was a big milk thing. We would have I might have paused the podcast right now. We would have had to at least Google what happened with the milk.
I'm guessing that the fake review does reference an actual
thing. Do you think the guy who wrote this has seen the movie?
I do.
Yeah,
I would think. So. I don't know. Jonathan, let us know. It's funny that
nobody's seen the movie. It's like a TNT made for TV movie. It'd be crazy if one of us saw it, Kurt. But do you think Matthew Perry is so mad that that Schwimmer and Aniston refused, to do more seasons of Friends at over $1 million per episode, $25 million a year easily. And this guy's stuck playing some, placed on Survivor. Ron Clark, in a movie for less money, than he would have got from 22 minutes on Friends. Come on. Well, this is a low point for Matthew Perry.
In the Ron Clark story sequel, which is a retelling of Survivor played by Matthew Perry again, I think there's an opportunity to cast the rest still? Of the Survivors.
Or is he a teacher educator? Do you know what I mean? Is he showing up?
Like an administrator?
Yeah, is he showing up at 7:30 a.m. every day and grading homework, even though he's ostensibly rich?
He's just a teacher.
He's the teacher's teacher, the way you called me the podcaster's podcaster.
Yeah, he runs the academy, the Ron Clark Academy. So I'm sure,
he's an administrator.
He's probably an administrator. Although, he's the cool, he shows up every once in a while to teach class and show everybody how to
then he's
done,
sort of
milk.
Teach cucking the teacher, where he's so much better than the teacher that they look dumb.
Yes, exactly.
He can just, because it's his academy, he can go into any classroom and just say, step aside.
Yes.
And you know what? And if we're wrong,
we had a situation where I had a bad class in 10th grade, bad behaved class. And we ran off a few teachers in a row. And it was a small private school, so the rabbi who was the principal is his school. He was the Ron Clark, except they didn't have his name on it, which is kind of weird to have your name on a school, by the way, unless you're George Washington. He's no more misbehaving, guys. I'm your new teacher, and he was probably a busy guy. He was the principal of the whole school, and he taught us the last 5 months of the year. And he was so that was his Ron Clark moment, where he's all right, the other guys can't whip you into shape, and I'm going to do it. And you're going to get zeros on tests out of 100 if you don't,
I'm not going anywhere.
He literally owned the school.
So I did Google a few things. So first of all, on the Ron Clark website, it says Ron Clark is the founder and mathematics teacher. So maybe he does teach math. But more importantly, I also Googled Ron Clark milk chug and I found a video. Matthew Perry does seem to be drinking milk, although it's like a tiny carton that you, oh, there's a ton of cartons. Oh my goodness. He's drinking a lot of milk, you guys. Okay. So there's a lot of, okay. So that's real. The milk, I mean, not the comment, obviously, but the milk chugging is real. There are currently 2,700 views on this video. If anyone's interested, Ron Clark.
Can we just maybe like, Mike might be out next week. Can we just, instead of talking about Survivor the week before the finale, just like do a quick review of this movie and mostly the milk scene?
Yes, I think that's a better use of our time. But hey, add it to the wheel, you know. Okay. All right.
Okay. So next question. We're down 3-0.
Let's do it.
What's the score? 1-1?
We can stop after 3.
I thought 1-0. I just got that one. Oh, I saw. I thought Leon had a point. Sorry.
Yeah.
No.
There's no Kalish math here. We're good. Okay. Question 4. Okay. This is, and by the way, this is all caps. I love, so I'm going to read it like T-Bird. I love Lifetime movies. I know I'm not supposed to watch Lifetime till I'm considered a cougar, LOL, but I love Lifetime and LMN, and this movie was awesome. I love Matthew Perry. I loved him as Chandler Bing in Friends. He's a great actor. This movie was great. 5 stars in case
that made a difference. Yeah.
That wasn't clear. That was from Jen. Jacob, 3 stars. Just okay for a teacher movie. The air quotes around teacher. I think he gives it a C+. Mary gives this 5 stars. Matthew Perry acted so well in this movie, I can't wait to see what he does next.
No.
And then from JH, 2.5 stars, the Ron Clark boring.
That's a great review. Oh my god.
And we will start with Akiva.
I'm gonna go with D. Yeah,
the Ron Clark boring. Okay.
I'm gonna go with C.
It is C. Oh, yes. Matthew Perry acted so well. So we are tied 1-1. Brings us down to our last question. Here we go. 4 reviews. First one by Guard, 5 stars. This story is awesome. I hope my teacher teach me at school just like Ron Clarkson.
Ron Clarkson?
Yep. Not to be confused with Ron Clark's son.
You.
Which is, yeah. Adam, 2.5 stars. It's too predictable and have been done before, but Matthew Perry is good and so are the kids. Monica, 2.5 stars. Why was this movie made? The Western education system is so toxic and Ron Clark didn't help those kids succeed in life at all. He just helped them get brainwashed. And lastly, from Rodrigo, 4 stars. This man really has balls. The story behind every kid was very hard and painful and could see that and rescue them anyway. Matthew is just perfect here. He's funny, sweet, and very good with kids. I really like how the movie was made and told nothing new, but well done. Very enjoyable film.
Wait, can you repeat A and B?
A, this story is awesome. I hope my teacher teach me at school just like Ron Clarkson. And B was, it's too predictable and have been done before, but Matthew Perry is good and so are the kids.
Matthew Perry is good and so are the kids.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to go with B.
Yeah, I'm going with D. Okay.
Akiva? D. You are both incorrect. So, Akiva, because you were on the board first, you get to choose between A and C, and Liana, you get stuck with the other one.
Oh, no.
So, either this story is awesome, I hope my teacher teach me at school just like Ron Clarkson, or... Why was this movie made?
So now we're getting inside. What's the guy who made this quiz's name? We're getting inside his head at this point. And he is very big into like sort of the malapropism. So I'm going to go with A.
Okay. So Liana, you are with the education system is so toxic. The made up answer is C. Liana, you get the point by default.
This guy's
and you
playing the long game the
God.
Whole time.
Oh,
good quiz.
Well, yeah. Oh man. Well, Akiva, if it makes you feel any better, I would have chosen A.
Well,
as
makes
well.
Me, I think that should make me feel much worse.
Yes, because that means you would have won. If
why
I,
are there no ties?
Yeah, I don't know.
There should be ties.
No ties.
You. No, it's too late now.
What's Liana's incentive to agree to that?
Yeah, of course not.
I think one of Ron Clark's rules? No ties.
Ties. Ties like kissing your sister who comes to see you on the family visit.
Hmm. Although you can't have a tie at tribal. Didn't he always wear his tie during tribal council?
I noticed he was wearing ties during confessionals. I didn't notice during the tribal council, but I didn't pick that up until my rewatch of this last episode, is that he does have the neckwear going on.
Okay, yay. Well, congratulations, me. Speaking of Ron Clark and Ron Clark rules, let's get into our very own Ron Clark rules. So Ron Clark has his 55 essential rules for some educating, even though it's, what is it? It's a, what was the B of the last question? It's a messed up system or something.
Oh, how it's toxic?
Yeah. So we're adding to the toxic education system by adding our very own rules. So by the end of the season, we will have 69 rules by adding one rule per episode.
55 rules are way too many rules for anything, right?
Like, how are you supposed to follow 50?
Yeah, that's way too much. 55 rules are too many rules. Like, if I'm a teacher, I want maximum. How about this, Ron Clark? If I was a teacher who gave out 55 rules to my students on day one, you'd say I was the worst teacher in history, right? I mean, I was a teacher. I might have been the worst teacher in history, but I never gave out 55 rules to people, because that's 45 more rules than people can follow.
The thing is that I feel like there's a lot of rules. Okay, so they range from like very general, carpe diem, to very specific, on a bus, always face forward. So I feel like you could maybe like lump some of them together.
Yeah, but that's his job. You know? That's like, not our job. You know what I mean? Specific? Like 10 rules, but then each rule has like 4 or 5 sub rules. That's fine. 55. I'm not buying that book. I'm buying the one simple rule to being a great teacher book.
It's a doctor. Educators hate him. One simple rule to educating your students. Yeah. That's
the book that exactly no teacher wants you to see.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying to quickly Google how many rules are on the bus.
I don't even think it's 55 pages.
Because I
yeah, but there's pictures, so. that's true. Okay, well, Akiva, we're going to do your favorite thing and add more rules to the Ron Clark rules. Okay, so what we have established so far, I'll read them off very quickly. Ream daily, speak softly and carry a big snake. Don't be stupid, watch your back. Always go through someone's bag 20 minutes ago. Aurora followed that rule.
Yeah.
Have Joey Amazing on your tribe. All's fair in love and war, dog. Dress for the blind side you want. Ron Clark, perhaps. Don't be a puppet master. If you're going to jump ship, give them your wallet. Be the good cop. It's criminally underrated. And if you treat someone like a dog, you might get bit. Whew. Okay, so we are on rule number 67. So I'm going to give a few suggestions that we got, and then I'll turn it over to the two of you if you have suggestions. So one suggestion we got from a listener, Glenna, said always be good till the last drop. Peridium, who YouTube content creator who was a guest on our show a couple weeks back, said love your life, never take it for granted, which I think was a Ron Clark quote. And then Mike's suggestion in absentia was blood is thicker than parchment. Okay, so Kurt, do you have any suggestions for a potential Ron Clark rule for this week?
Yeah, I do. Sometimes if you put it out into the universe, it'll bite you in the butt. And I was thinking, like, this referring back to the fact that Ron kind of put it out into the universe that he was going to give Devons an immunity idol. He gave him that, but he did it in the form of a fake parchment. But the universe was like, you know what? I'll do you one better. I'll get him a real immunity idol, and we'll see how that boils down. So be careful what you put out into the universe.
That actually could, if you make yourself a fake hidden immunity idol, do you think then you'll get a real immunity idol? Is that how that works?
I do. Yes, that's how that works.
Okay. How can we make that one succinct? I'm not entirely sure. Like, if you put it out into the universe.
I would say don't put it out into the universe.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Akiva, what do you think? Do you have any ideas?
I think at least Reem probably isn't going to yell at me. That's a big one, right? Reem, why is Reem going to yell at Ron? Like, she just yelled at War Dog. Is she mad at Ron? I don't think she's mad at Ron.
So what? Don't have Ream yell at you?
I like that's like a solace of not being of being voted out. At least he's not going to get reamed out by Ream.
Oh, like at least you won't be reamed.
Not going to get reamed. Probably the least reaming she's done all year will be for Ron Clark.
She was, she was really nice to him.
It wasn't in the previews. Was it in like kind of like the closing scenes? I'm trying to where like she's like, dude, I've heard great things about you.
Yeah, it's all a game. It's fine.
He's like the one person. But you're right. You're right, Akiva. It's like he's like the one person that she has like welcomed with open arms teachers. Has been Ron.
Yeah, maybe.
That could be it.
But that's crazy that apparently, I mean, everybody's heard good things about Ron Clark. Let's see. Okay, so I think we have a lot of good suggestions. I think we should give this one to Mike and go with his idea. Blood is thicker than parchment. I don't know if either of you feel strongly about that. You know, it's I like the tie-in to the vote. So I think ultimately that's what I might go with, but I'm open to other suggestions if anybody feels strongly.
Yeah, let's give this to Mr. Bloom.
He'll have a kid soon. You know, he'll need something to make his kids not think he's an idiot, you know, or whatever Rick Devens said. So he can look at his kids.
Try to make me
tell him he's got a Ron Clark role.
Try to make me look like an idiot in front of my kids.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was also another weird thing that Jeff Probst said. He said something to, does it trigger you? Yeah, this was OK. So Jeff Probst said this to Rick. Does it trigger you when she brings up your son and he doesn't know where you are? What the F, Jeff? Like, what a weird thing
that
to
is
say
weird,
to somebody.
Right? Do you think Probst is really into the word trigger? Because I feel like there's a certain type on Twitter that like that word. And it's not, I wouldn't have pegged Probst as a big trigger guy.
I actually triggered someone by using the word trigger at the wrong time. So it was like a meta trigger. It was, and I apologized.
Wow. Yeah. The unobtainable meta trigger. Like, good for you, Kurt.
Yeah.
Before we move on to more fun and games, we're going to take a quick break to listen to a word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back, so let's keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
All right. So the last fun activity that we have for this week is a loved ones bracket. Now, we couldn't have Akiva on and not do a bracket. I know it's not March, but he was excited for this one. So I had the help of Jess Sterling and DJ LaBelle Klein, who put together the Stan bracket over on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, where I hosted the Stan bracket with Robin Akiva, where we chose what to stan. Love the King Cake Baby. All hail King Cake Baby. As we all know, the best baby and mascot of all time.
He's our king.
He is our king. So today what we're going to do is we are going to walk through the loved ones bracket. So they put together an elite eight of loved ones visits in hopes of finding the best family visit of all time. So we solicited your opinions on Twitter. We really had to narrow it down, but thanks to everybody for all of the suggestions that they were given. So with 38 seasons of Survivors to choose from, only 33 if you count seasons that had loved ones, there were a lot to choose. But we are going to battle through all of this. So the way this is going to work is the two of you, Kurt and Akiva, you will discuss each of the matchups, and I will come in as the tiebreaker if necessary. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I already know which one. If it's in the eight, I'm pushing for it to go all the way. So we'll see if it appears.
Well, Kurt, you got it. You have to make some... deals, because you're only one out of three votes. We might have to like play a little Survivor here where you put one of mine through and I put one of yours through.
I like this.
Okay, we'll see.
I'm excited.
Well, now, can I ask, are we voting for the loved one we like the most, or the overall their performance in The Visit?
Yeah,
I think it's the overall visit. Yeah. In terms of this, we're voting for the season more, the visit that happened during that season versus like necessarily any individual.
Is it the whole person? So it's matchups. Yeah. So this was originally conceptualized as like a Stan loved ones bracket, but all hail King Cake Baby, Stan King Cake Baby. Obviously, nothing can come the way of King Cake Baby.
King Cake Baby on the hot seat because Liana, King Cake Baby said they were going to send me, you, and Rob some merch. We've gotten no merch. I'd say the clock is on for King Cake Baby possibly being unstanned.
Ooh. Okay, yeah.
I didn't know you could.
Can we unstan a thing?
Yeah, if you don't send us merch, we unstan you.
Okay, yeah, we can not to get into the weeds here of the King Cake Baby. We can discuss this further on the map. Okay, sure. So let's get into our first matchup. So yeah, so like I said, it is individual loved ones that will be matched up against each other.
Okay,
you can whatever criteria we want to use. I'm cool with that. So let's just get into it. So this first matchup is the Battle of the Nicknames. So the honorable mentions for the nickname category is Sunny Bunny, the sister of Lauren Rimmer from season 35, who stole the hug from Jeff. But the first matchup is Big D versus Thunder D. So Big D is Keith Nail's wife from season 31 of Cambodia. So after seeing Keith for two seasons and his son Wes back in San Juan del Sur, meeting Big D was the final piece of the oh-so complex puzzle that is Keith Nail. And of course, Thunder D visited Johnny Fairplay season 7, Pearl Islands, known for uttering the words, "She died, dude," about Johnny Fairplay's grandmother in order to garner sympathy from other contestants, even though Fairplay's grandma was alive and well watching Jerry Springer.
I forgot that was the phrasing.
She died, dude.
She died, dude.
And it's great because he like comes out so happy. He's like, it's like doing the peace, Richard Nixon peace signs. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I got to be sad. She died.
See, I forgot. I got this role I have to play.
Yeah. Okay. So what do the two of you think? Is there a front runner? Is this one of your people you were thinking of, Kurt?
No, I doubt that the one say at the end, but I doubt the one I'm thinking of is even in the bracket. Kevin, you want to go first?
I detest Johnny Fairplay. He's my least favorite survivor of all time, other than like the people who are like in jail or actual like awful criminals, which maybe he should be in jail. I'm not sure. But he famously cheated me in a fantasy football trade and blamed it on being in church, and he's a snake. I hate him, so I would never pick anything with Johnny Fairplay. So I'm even though I love Keith Nail, I barely remember his wife's visit, but I'm still picking him. And I'll take it as a personal insult if anybody votes for Johnny Fairplay here. Johnny Fairplay can go to hell.
Right. Even though he's obviously Kurt, the correct answer.
So you can do whatever you want.
It's up to you.
Wow. I didn't think I was going to have to contend with this. So early.
He sucks. He stole Rob's. He never gave back the fantasy football belt. He stole it from Rob.
And so I was going to go with Johnny Fairplay in this spot only because it's such an iconic moment in Survivor history. But like, you know, to be on Akiva's bad side when we like this is our first podcast together ever.
Don't be bullied.
This is how you want to start a relationship.
Oh, the bully word.
I'm triggered.
You know what? I'm voting for Thunder D only because it's not a vote for Johnny Fairplay. It's a vote
okay,
for Thunder
fair,
D.
Fair. They might not even be friends anymore. We don't know, right? Maybe Thunder D.
I believe they are
See?
Not.
Oh, perfect. Then Thunder D is my hero. By the way, can we play a quick game? How many patrons does Johnny Fairplay have on his podcast?
Do you know? Do you actually know? Did you look it up?
Yeah. I just looked it up. Do you guys each want to guess and I'll tell you who's right?
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to guess 112.
Mm-hmm.
I will go just because you would not be bringing this up if it was a high number. I'm going to actually.
Oh, that is correct, my friend.
I'm going to go. Okay. I'm going to go with 75.
Yeah, clear. You win. 61. You were both high. I don't want to brag, but like 32 fans could have that in one day if we, you know, weren't already rich and had.
I already have the 32.
But I don't.
Halfway there.
Someone wrote in 32 fans that we should be the first podcast to do a reverse Patreon.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's set up as well.
Well, I still don't think you guys would listen, to be fair.
I listened to the cereal tournament, okay? And the food ones with Haley Strong. That's the ones of most interest to me. Okay, I'm going with Thunder D. So, you know, Akiva, we can hash this out tomorrow. But it is a vote for
Thunder
D.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I didn't know that Thunder D is an ops of Johnny Fairplay. Now I'm pro Thunder D.
Yeah, I believe that on the Johnny Fairplay podcast with Rob, they was discussed how they are no longer on good terms. I could be misremembering, but I believe that's the case.
All right, so let's move on to our second matchup, which is the Battle of the Siblings. So honorable mention here for the sibling category is Greg Buis's sister Julie, who joked about incest and completely creeped Rudy out on season one. But the matchup that we have here is Reed Donaldson versus Justice Coleman.
Yeah.
So Reed, aka Damn It Reed, competed in the same Love Ones challenge from this past week's episode with his brother Colby in season 20. Reed couldn't seem to do well from that season, although I think it was really Colby that like didn't throw the water well, but whatever. Anyway, so then we also have Justice Coleman, who visited his sister Lisa Welchel in the Philippines in season 25, and Justice is famous for screaming sister repeatedly as he ran to embrace Lisa, although I took the Bryce Isaiah approach to this one. So Reed versus Justice is the matchup.
I'll kick this one off. And actually, I was trying to think when you said the topic, the bracket was siblings, I was trying to, before you said what the nominees were, I was trying to quickly just scan my mental index. And honestly, the first one that popped to mind was Lisa Welchel's brother before you even had mentioned that unprompted. So just because that was the one that I remembered the best and at a kind of a just a again unprompted selection, I'm going to go with that selection.
All right, Akiva, what do you think?
I think Reed is a lock here. People were saying how like their casual grandmas like still remembered the Reed one. I just think it's one of the more iconic ones. No shade to Justice Welchel. I also think with because of the siblings division, there hasn't really been like a wait, are they siblings or are they dating type of. thing. I mean, you said like, you know, Greg Buis, you mentioned, but like I want like in the future like a really like Probst says brother, but then maybe has to like double check his notes after they like they gave a kiss and it's like a little too close to the mouth and like what's going on here.
We've had that with cousins.
We're rooting for incest.
We've had the cousins question mark one.
Yeah, it's like a Game of Thrones style family.
It's definitely
visit.
Game of Thrones. Yeah. So I think here I'm gonna go with Reed also just because of the like iconicness of it, and I think it was someone in the patron group that talked about their loved one, their like wife or something, remembered that. So I think Reed here really is the answer for me. Okay, so now let's move on to the other side of our bracket. So we have our third matchup, which is the Battle of the Husbands. So honorable mention for this category is Mark, not the chicken, but Ty's husband, Mark. I would like an honorable mention for Ron Clark's husband, which also, along with the chugging milk, if he's in the movie too, I might be more interested in the Ron Clark movie as well.
Did we know that he had a husband before this? Like, I feel like I haven't really followed any of these guys on social media. But I had no idea. He came out of left field. I'm like, oh, who's this hot dude? Like, how'd this happen? I assume the other survivors knew, but did we know?
Yeah, because those are his friends. He's my friends. I don't know. I can't remember. Okay. All right. We'll go with no then.
And the movie came out over 10 years ago.
They're married.
But,
at the
so
time.
I
maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. Like how long he's. I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
So I doubt he's in the movie.
All right. Well, you know, the milk chugging will have to be enough for me, I guess, then. All right. So let's move on to the matchup. So we have HB or Honey Bunny Fields, Cerie's husband, who visited her twice. And Eddie George, the legendary former football player who visited Taj in Token Sheens when they had that iconic moment with the reward auction, when Taj got to watch the video on the phone. And then when she found out that she was gonna
see you back at the camp.
And like pretty much tore Jeff's arm off. So that is our matchup, HB and Eddie George. So Akiva, do you have a feeling about this one?
Yeah, I want to ask a question about see you back at the camp, because I just rewatched it this week and it's very confusing if you think about it. And I'm gonna pick Eddie George, but so that the way that works, if you haven't seen it recently, is that everyone gives their money. It's like one of the big tearjerker moments in the history of the show. Everyone gives their auction money to Taz so she can buy a family, a video of her family, you know, a message from her family. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you see Eddie George on the couch at his home with their children saying the message. And then it's like super long. We probably don't even see all of it. And at the very end, he says, see you back at the camp. She doesn't notice. Probe springs it up. She famously screams, see you back at the camp. And then they go to, you know, she meets him on Exile Island. Did all, I think there were 7 or 8 survivors left, right? Steven, JT, Coach, like, did all, wait, is Coach still there? Yeah, I'm not sure. He is there. Did all of those people get like everyone who had a loved one's visit or even like was in the running for a loved one's visit when they filmed those get a video that also said, see you back at the camp? Like, did they know it was going to be Taj? I think we just uncovered like a real conspiracy theory. How the hell did that happen? It doesn't make any sense if you think about it.
My guess is that every loved one had a video filmed and that the producers told them, now there's a chance you'll get to go back to the camp. So close out your video with that.
With see you back at the camp.
Yeah.
Listen, I guess this is a big operation.
It's less of a fun theory.
No, you're probably right. But that is wild if you think about it, that they had the foresight to, like, you know, think of this and mention it. Like, it was a really, I guess, well, a planned twist, if so. So kudos to the producers.
Yeah, but what takes more work? Having to buy flights and fly them all out there, or have them just add a line at the end of the video? Like, if they were going to,
I know it's not, but
they're going to fly them out.
They had to have filmed it like 2 weeks or, you know what I mean? Like, everyone had to have that, or unless like they were just like cheating and knew it was going to be Taj's the whole time.
Okay, well, you know, get it.
Or it was like dubbed in. Maybe they dubbed in his voice.
That's
after.
That's possible. I mean, she wasn't even really kind of paying attention, right? So
she was not paying attention, and she didn't hear that, or she didn't internalize it until Jeff says it. But yeah,
maybe it wasn't actually said. It was only put into the show.
That's why.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. That's very possible. Does anybody have Taj access? We want to get to the bottom of this mystery.
Really need to know the answer to this.
Really, and it's a shame that George has never been on Survivor. Oh. I feel like it's still possible. It could still happen one day.
All right, Kurt, what do you think?
So I'm going to lean on my goldfish fish brain here. I remember very little about and random things about past seasons. And I do, as much as I love Suri, I do remember Eddie George as a visit more than I do HB. And so I'm also going to have to go for Eddie.
Okay, so Eddie George is moving on to the final four. Okay, let's get to our fourth and final matchup, the Battle of the Powerful Females. So the honorable mention for this category is Hazel, Davy's mother, because, you know, where's Davy, of course, has to be mentioned. But the matchup that we have is Aunt Patty and Val Collins. So Aunt Patty, well known for not only visiting her nephew Donathan, but also her stint on Survivor loved ones, Brant Steele. She
is that canon?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is now. She rocked a shawl, threatened to hunt Dom down if he voted out Donathan. And then, of course, Val Collins brought many to tears when she whispered it's a boy to her husband, Jeremy, in Cambodia, because, you know, none of the other contestants knew that Val was pregnant until Jeremy revealed it at the final. So, Kurt, who are you thinking, Aunt Patty or Val Collins?
Patty! Definitely. Hands down. This is although not the the loved one's family, not the family visit I was hoping would appear in this top eight. It is one of my top ones of all time. And make sure it's a little bit of recency bias, but I'm going to have to go for Aunt Patty.
All right, Akiva.
I was just thinking about how many people would have I feel like my aunts probably would not make the cut for me. just imagining the call of like having to explain like what Survivor is to any of my aunts and then being like, I know you have like 8 of your own kids, but will you come out to Fiji for me? But I pick Aunt Patty here.
Yeah, that's a solid choice. You know, the Val one is so moving, but in terms of reality TV emotion, like, oh no, I'd rather have someone threaten.
And she's
someone.
Been out there already.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay.
She had her chance.
Okay. All right. So we are at our final four. Let's make it down to the final two. So the next matchup, Thunder D versus Reed. So are there any strong feelings? Now, I know Akiva, we've moved on to Thunder D. Mm-hmm. So is Reed or Thunder D standing out to you more?
Well, I want to know how much Thunder D really hates Fair Play. Like, does he have dirt on him? But I'm just kidding. But I'm going to go with Reed here. I just think it's Reed himself. The Fair Play grandma lie is iconic, but Fair Play really gets the credit, not Thunder D. So Thunder D himself has been lost to time. So I'm going to go with Reed.
There. Okay, Kurt.
I don't even remember Reed Donaldson, so I have to go with
what?
Thunder D.
Oh, man. This is a tough one. This is a tough matchup for me. Especially because, so I do remember both of these. I think if I had to pick between the two, oh my gosh, this is actually, this is so stupid because there's literally no stakes and who cares about this, but I'm treating it like this is the most important decision I've ever made.
Are you talking about
made.
Like the whole television show or just this decision?
This specific decision, obviously, between okay. Thunder D and Reed.
Well, is this framed up as a iconic bracket or a stand
that's
bracket?
A good point. I think it's just iconic.
Good question.
Yeah, not necessarily a stand, so I don't think we have to be stands of these people. All right, I think I have to go with Reed here, just because the damn it Reed line for me really stands out, and it is all about Reed. Like, that is an experience, although this was pretty tight. Okay, Eddie George versus Patty, our other final two. I think, you know, I have a strong feeling about this one. I don't know if the two of you, if either of you do. Kurt, what are you thinking?
I still have to go with Aunt Patty. Mm-hmm. I think in a blind mention of like, what are five family visits that just remain very memorable in your mind? Yeah, a little bit of recency bias again, but Aunt Patty would have made a top five listing, and I probably wouldn't have mentioned Eddie George. So I'm going to go with Patty over Eddie.
Okay, Akiva, what do you got?
Yeah, I think the Aunt Patty thing is podcast boosted. The actual iconic moment, I believe, is Taj and Eddie. I think that's the on the show, a lot of viewers wouldn't remember Aunt Patty. I think if you were like a diehard fan, you have to remember See You Back at the Camp. So I'm going with Eddie George and Taj.
Sia was back at the camp?
Well, that's another thing. She already got money from Sia, right? Didn't Aunt Patty get Sia money also?
When did Aunt Patty get Sia money?
Well, didn't Donathan get Sia money?
Oh, so, I mean, but who knows?
So I think Aunt Patty got some of that, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if directly. I don't know how the Sia rules work. Maybe she could come on the B&B one week.
Yeah, explain it.
By the way, I don't think it's impossible that you guys could get Sia if you like knew who her publicist was. I don't think that's...
I only want to get on Survivor just so I can make a reference to see you back at camp and just like, really?
That would be your shout out, right? So like Devin's had the La Cheeserie thing. See you back at camp. No one would get it, but I would appreciate the effort.
Nobody would get it.
Okay, I'm going to go Aunt Patty here. I guess maybe I like the inside jokes, so I'm here for that. Also, again, I will go back to the threatening Dom. I enjoyed that part. So we have our final two, Reed and Aunt Patty. This is an interesting one. So I'm gonna kick things off. I'm gonna give my feeling.
Okay.
So I think Reed for me is the standout here, but I don't know if the two of you feel similarly. So Akiva, do you have a feeling about this?
Yeah, I'm a Reed guy, I feel like. They're both worthy winners, honestly. This is a great bracket, but I'm going to go with Reed.
Now, I think we know where Kurt's going to go, and he apparently does not remember Reed Donaldson.
See, if this had been a Thunder D and Patty matchup, it would have been much more difficult for me. Yeah, my vote doesn't count.
You can still vote,
but I would have... Yeah, just in case something happens in the recount, I'm going to just make it official that I am standing Aunt Patty here in terms of just, having loved that entire, exchange and her experience.
Now, Kurt, if it had been Thunder D versus Aunt Patty, who do you think you would have gone with?
Again, I think another like iconic versus stand sort of question. And I think I would have had to go Thunder D just in terms of it was like just such a big moment in the history of the show. You know what? He got left behind at the semifinals. So
I think it was a tough matchup. Okay, so we have Reed Donaldson winning our bracket. Now, I do want to say Mike gave some predictions in how he thought the bracket was going to turn out. So he had picked for the final four Thunder D and Reed. But then he had HB over Eddie George and Aunt Patty. His final two was our final two, Reed and Aunt Patty. He had Aunt Patty winning in the end.
Okay, so if he had been here to vote, it would have been a 2-2 tie.
Yes. So, oh my gosh. Okay. But, so he also said, which may challenge this tie if all three of them are there, Kiva would try to have Roseanne Sesternino, although he originally had Boston Powers, enter Royal Rumble style to challenge
her. Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea.
So
it is something I would have done.
Yeah.
Shout out to Roseanne.
And honestly, the one matchup I was hoping would be in here was Kat Ederson's cousin.
Yeah,
I thought about that too. Kat Ederson, just in terms of comedy, that's high up there.
Yeah, Kat was definitely on the short list. Is that the person, Kurt, that you were going to push all the way through? Yeah.
Yep. And I think, well, when it was back in the season, I also think that Tarzan's wife. Was an interesting matchup in the family visit as well. So if back when I thought it was going to be like the one world family visit, it was what we were going to be debating. I would have pushed for that season to go through because I think we had some good matchups.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, for next time, we'll consider the one world family visit versus the Ghost Island family visit. Okay. So, Kurt, is there anything that you want to discuss before we start to wrap things up?
Well, one of the things that I had been wondering was, you know, are the players in the game adapting to and approaching Edge of Extinction's returnees with the proper strategic kind of approach? And what I mean by this is, you know, I would have been tempted to take a look at the fact that we have, you know, they see Devin's returned from the Edge of Extinction, and then they know that somebody else is going to be coming back from Edge of Extinction as well. Is a missed opportunity here not to target those players and thus kind of make them shine as underdogs in the mind of the jury, but take them under your wing and try to kind of ferry them all the way to the end as the ultimate goats. I think we see a lot of love for the jury and for Devin's right now, but a lot of that's because he's been targeted by everybody else in the game. Would a proper strategy have been to get to the end with two returnees from the Edge and basically make the case at the end that A, I'm the only person here who didn't get voted out, and B, they wouldn't be here without me, but I purposefully took them to the end. So is that a legitimate strategy to approach Edge of Extinction with?
Because it is sort of the ultimate goats in the I don't know, because then you could make the argument of, oh, well, the people over at the Edge of Extinction have had this time to bond with all the other people on the Edge of Extinction who are all the jury. And so, you know, does that give them a leg up? So even though you can make the argument at the end, like, oh, they got voted out, they, you know, obviously didn't survive the whole time in the game, maybe that argument ultimately ends up working against you.
Yeah, I am afraid that we're going to see, I think there is a chance for there to be a little bit of Big Brother Canada 1 jury collusion. Without the Topaz element, where you don't necessarily see that in a Redemption Island season, because where you're only kind of matched up with one person at a time.
Going to Ponderosa after this next challenge, whenever it is, right? Like, they will actually leave the island at that point. So they will have a few days of actual, like, typical jury unwinding, maybe being, you know, you're out of the game, you're slightly less bitter. It's more like that they're all sort of like the fifth or sixth last person out, whereas, you know, they have some time to process what happened, but not as much as, like, you know, the merge boot who maybe has 2-3 weeks.
Because right now they aren't acting like people who are out of the game because they aren't out of the game. And at a certain point that is going to hit them. And I don't know if that will their mindset be rah, rah, you're one of our own, go forth and win, returnee, or will it be that should have been me? And I don't know. I'm just wondering if there's a different way to approach the returnees. I think just by constantly targeting Rick, they are potentially sabotaging their own game in the chance that Rick or another returnee makes it to the end. But so I just wonder, is there an opportunity to take them under your wing and use them versus oppose them?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if they're like, so for example, the person who's going to come back next, they are mm-hmm. going to be, I think, at such a disadvantage. They'd be willing to work with
they're
anyone.
The new Devins, right?
Yeah.
People are going to aren't people going to basically forget that Devins was ever voted out at that point? Because
probably.
Devins is like, oh, he's been with us most of the game at this point. Whereas person X, whoever it is, like that's like Johnny come lately. Yeah. It could be someone like Reem who's been in the game for 3 days total. It's like, all right, this person is not a serious contender. Maybe if it's Ron Clark or someone who's basically been there the whole time. But anyone who's, you know, who's been gone for more than 3 or 4 votes is not really going to be respected. I guess they have so many friends on jury. It could be if it's Joe and he's been hanging out with everybody for weeks and he's really built relationships and maybe been helping them eat on Edge of Extinction, then who knows? But I think Devins is not going to have that sort of like obviously if it was Kurt, Leon and Devins at Tribal Council, you'd obviously mention 20 times like, hey, this guy was voted out. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if this jury is going to care. I made a list of and tell me what these people have in common with Devins. OK. Brendan Shapiro. B. Nguyen, Lucy Wang, Caleb Reynolds, Lindsay Cascadon, Drew Christie, and Bryce Isaiah.
I was going to say voted out, but Caleb was voted out in when he came back for Game Changers.
No, so they're all fourth out. Okay. Caleb and B were injured / quit, but those are fourth booths, and Devins is a fourth booth. So imagine like a season where one of those people somehow was allowed back in the game. And one, that's how absurd what might be happening, is like that's pretty like and Lindsay Cascadon, winner of Survivor 1-1 of a Survivor third.
And we've not, correct me if I'm wrong, we've not had a Redemption Island season where two returnees have been in the game together simultaneously. Mm. Correct. Like the first returnee is always left before the second returnee has come back. Is that
I
correct?
Think so.
Or been the same person. Wasn't it the same person?
Or been the same person. Yeah. But like right. Laura Moret left.
Yeah, Laura Moret comes Tina back and then back. Tina comes back. Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess how did the players perceive Rick Devins at this point? Do they see him as someone who was voted out previously, who came back, is now playing a game? I don't think so. I think it's like somehow part of the collective, like that's not part of the collective memory anymore. Like he's just now back and he's just a regular normal player. Mm-hmm. So,
except. And I think Akiva's point earlier about like you see the jury is actively rooting and like, fist pumping for anything that Devins is doing. So I think that's just going to perpetuate them continuing to see that he's got to be the next one to go. But I think that but it's also a little bit again an underdog in the people in the game are the ones that made him an underdog by constantly targeting him. So it's a little bit of this vicious circle, like which started first, the rooting for Devins or the wanting to target the Devins. So,
Yeah, I don't know. I think that whoever comes back. Yeah, because like, OK, if Reem comes back, though, who's going to think of her as a target to win or as a person who's going to win? I don't know, because it could be I think it's so easily. Oh, yeah, it's a revolving door situation. That person's going to go out. Or it is like you suggest, Kurt, with the potential goat situation where, you know, you bring Reem to the end and then you just be like, well, she won her way back. She won one challenge, but she didn't survive the game like me. So obviously you can't vote for her kind of mentality.
Would you two rather see Reem as one of the final three or as an active and vocal member of the jury during the final tribal council?
Can I say neither?
Oh, like, it's Reem.
No, personal, disrespect to Reem, but like, it's absurd that she's still in the game. Like, she should not be in the final three. It would be an embarrassment. If she won the game, she'd go off the air. She's not going to win. The show should go off the air. It's absurd that she has the say. Like, obviously you have to do jury management. So when Reem is reaming you out, when you get voted out, if you're smart, and she's your war dog, and hopefully you aren't war dog. But if you're war dog, and she's yelling at you, you have to take it because she is. You have a good chance of getting back in the game, and she is literally on the jury. But it's crazy. Like I would just, if, you know, I could be honest with her. She's yelling at you, is like, you're not part of this. Like, you know, if someone gets voted out day 22, they're part of this. If you're voted out on day 3, like, you just, you're, you know, kudos to you for staying here and trying to get your, you know, the $100,000 for a runner up check. But like, you're not in the game, and you really never were. Like, this has nothing to do with you. You just happen to be here.
Assuming a returnee does not squeak into the final three, Reem will have not played with any of the final three.
Right. It's crazy.
But at the same time, I like this absurd idea of her being in the final three and having no shot to win, but just seeing like, what does she like?
Oh, she wouldn't know that, though. I don't think she has the awareness to know that she has no shot to win.
No. But it's like, I've been trying to think, which would be more entertaining for me is her trying to make a case for winning in the final three, or her questioning people she doesn't even know. And I guess, like, which of those has the higher entertainment upside?
Yeah.
Reem,
there's definitely entertainment upside, just like in terms of integrity of the show, there's very little.
I think Reem doesn't have to know a person to Reem them out, right? So I would be totally fine with Reem as one of the jury questioning people's. I think, though, what would be really entertaining, I think ultimately, to answer your question, Kurt, I would rather have her on the jury, but to see what argument she would try to craft, right? Because if you're Reem and somebody asks, so what was your biggest move in the game? Is it I won the challenge to get back in?
That's the only thing she could, well, other than like, she might potentially have like two votes to do something in the game with. So she got, I don't know, like, are they coming back at 5 or?
I don't know. Like,
we don't know, right? Don't know. It could be 6, I think.
Yeah. So she put, it's like, I made fire. That's the thing. She's had nothing to do but bad practice making fire on Edge of Extinction and not have people. Oh, yeah,
anybody who messes up fire who's been on Edge of Extinction doing nothing all day should you know, be disgraced.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway. Well, yeah. Well, I'm really curious to know how this is going to go. So, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see. All right. So let's get into our very last segment, wrap things up with our question of the week. So the question that we asked last week was, what is Survivor Heaven? Based on the heaven is getting mud rubbed on you by Wardog quote from Rick. So I'm going to read out the answers that you submitted, and then we'll go around the table and we'll each give our own answer to what is Survivor Heaven. Especially, you know, Akiva, you're now very familiar, which, by the way, Jess Sterling, who helped put together the bracket, congratulations on your engagement.
Big mazel tov to her.
Yes. Yeah. So now
first ever podcast wedding coming up in a year and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. So Akiva, you can put that on your your heaven resume. Hopefully that'll help. Okay.
I think a god wrote back, sorry, you had nothing to do with it.
Doesn't count. Okay, so let's get into some of these answers. So Krissa wrote, Survivor Heaven for me would be being captured by Christian Hubicki and just hearing him speak for 6 hours. I don't know if that's heaven or hell for me. Purgatory, perhaps? I don't know. Depends on the topic.
Well, listen to Rob's podcast next week. You'll hear him speak for 6 hours.
That's right. Elizabeth wrote in and said, Survivor Heaven is playing in the sand with Christian. So I guess Christian Hubicki is definitely in heaven, apparently, or will be. Parker Schimler said, Survivor Heaven will be experienced next season when they find Big Wendy's free-ranged chickens. Can you imagine if Wendy's chickens were allowed to just live up like out there and just sort of colonize the island? I think that would be great.
Fifth generation Wendy chickens.
All out there getting swole, and then you can have your chickens like live with you. Okay. Dan Sineski wrote, Survivor Heaven is getting taken on a reward by the biggest threat in the game, finding the advantage clue without them noticing and using it to blindside them. Which, by the way, can we talk about the fact that Rick Devens had to climb up in that tree to get the idol? Like, I don't know how he wasn't heard by the other players.
And they cut those moments where like Aurora and Gavin are kind of like waking up and like looking around. And we don't know if it was in reaction to that or not. But like, that's that was gutsy. That was like, I guess probably the only time he could have done that, unless he was like, obviously he doesn't want them to know you have more power if nobody knows you have it. So I definitely, kudos to him for doing it in secret.
Crazy. Okay. Heather Gunn said Survivor Heaven is Jeff Probst giving you a shoulder rub a la Brandon Hance.
I think Brandon Hance was in purgatory right now. And Jeff was deciding to send him to hell.
That's right. Yeah. I don't know. Heather also said that shoulder rub calmed down the guy with Mel Gibson levels of crazy, to paraphrase Corinne. So, it must be good. All right. And Logan said, my definition of Survivor Heaven would be a land of peace, a land with no reaming, rice Nazis or mountains of pizza, a land filled with fluffy baby war dogs. That's where he lost me. Roaming freely with the goats, Wendy's chickens and Chris's stingray. A land where you can use your idol a second time after you're voted out. Thank you for your time. I like the reaming. So I'm actually kind of here for that. I could say.
To you.
Dude. All right. So, Kurt, what do you think Survivor Heaven is?
Well, my Survivor Hell is accidentally referring to Lauren as Laurel at the first 5 minutes of this podcast. My idea of Survivor Heaven, though, is... You know what? I'm gonna channel a little Devin's here. Like, we kind of know what his Survivor Heaven was from the previous episode. I think from this episode, and I would also have to mirror this. My Survivor Heaven is making it awkward at camp. Because he just gave zero shits, and it was a mix of him just knowing you're the target, and I think even before he had the actual immunity, like he was just like the Aurora going through his bag and Aurora like, dude, it's like I'm not feeling awkward, are you feeling awkward? But just loving how awkward it felt, and then also the fact that like he was doing it the challenge as well. It's like, yeah, they told me I'm the target, so just having that freedom to just be able to just freely say that. And then he's been voted out once already, so he knows what it feels like. My idea of Survivor Heaven is kind of having that freedom to make it awkward again.
I mean, especially because all of Survivor, so to get into my answer, like to be able to act without repercussions, because all of Survivor essentially is having to not act out emotionally, right? And but wouldn't it be nice to be able to just do that and not worry about the consequences?
Yeah. And he was making it awkward. I mean, I think that makes sense, of making it awkward at tribal council. Like the fact that him calling out Ron and Julie for lying to him is like before, like he, revealed that he had actually the actual idol. So yeah, it's, that's, make it awkward.
Make it
all
awkward.
You can.
Next Ron Clark rule, make it awkward. Okay. Akiva, what is Survivor Heaven to you?
Oh, can I just say, I was thinking like the 55 Ron Clark rules. When I was a teacher, we had like a teacher's expert, like, the homeless man's Ron Clark, like the poor man's Ron Clark. Come and speak to us like the day before school started and give us some advice. And the one thing that stuck with me is that he said, don't ever be sarcastic with your students, right? Sarcasm does not translate. He said sarcasm is a weapon of the weak. Don't be sarcastic.
Uh-oh.
And I would always joke with like my other friends who are teachers, like sarcasm is the weapon of the week, but like W-E-E-K. Like, we're using sarcasm this week, baby.
Yeah.
Fifth week in a row.
Definitely going to follow that rule.
Yeah. I think my Survivor Heaven is, first of all, I like just Jeff saying different food names to me in his absurd cartoon tone, like fried chicken, baked beans, mac and cheese, pizza, right? Like all his like insane 20 second per word food takes. So and then I win the reward, and Keith drives me around in a tuk-tuk for the entire reward check.
Yeah, that's nice. It's not ASMR, right? Because you can't say words in ASMR, but like the food equivalent of that, but with Jeff Probst. Yeah, no,
absolutely.
I got it. Okay, so our next question of the week is inspired actually by Mike and his wife Angela Bloom. They are scheduled to have a baby very, very soon, and so our next question of the week is, what Survivor themed name would you give your baby or pet? If you'd like to specify a pet, we are a pet friendly podcast over here on the BNB. So this can be, you know, just something related to Survivor. Could be another Survivor name or tribe name or something. Use your creativity. You can reach out to us in a number of different ways. Use the hashtag RHAPBNB, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B on Twitter or on social media. You can respond to the post for this on the RHAP website or in the patron Facebook group. And you can also email us for long form answers or game suggestions to RHAPBNB. Again, that's RHAP, the letter B, the letter N, the letter B at gmail.com. Whew, okay. Ooh. So that is everything we have for you this week. Next week, I will be bringing on our Canadian team to break down the Ron Clark movie featuring Matthew Perry. No, we will be talking Survivor, maybe a little bit of Ron Clark in the milk, but with Kirsten McInnes and Pooya Zanvakili. So I'm very excited to have the two of them on.
Mike already, I mean, it's a bad sign that this baby hasn't even been born yet, and he's already choosing the baby over us, Liana.
Obviously my initial concern, too. I was like, how dare you? The BNP is our baby, and you're going to prioritize?
It is true.
Who is this other woman? I'm sorry, your wife?
Or man. We don't know.
I don't understand how a human baby can be a priority over a podcast, but, you know. Definitely not.
And now I have four kids, and let me make a guarantee to you. If I have a fifth kid and I'm scheduled to come on the BNB this week, even if my wife's in labor, I will be there.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm lying. Hopefully my wife didn't hear. But but like certainly once it's like a day or you know, like once it's back from the hospital, all bets are off. Like I had at least one kid while podcasting and I never missed the podcast. So listen, Mike Bloom, I thought he was the most dedicated man in the game, but now I'm really questioning it.
If he's listening, you know, look at Akiva's dedication.
We once did an episode of 32 Fans where Chester had a baby and we were doing the podcast and his wife, like he was doing it in like the side, you know, you're in the like one of those waiting rooms that are like near all the hospital rooms, like every floor has one of them, like in the maternity ward. So she caught him. His wife was like walking around on the floor and she caught him and she kicked him out of the hospital. He got booted out of the hospital and he ran home. And we finished the podcast like in 20 minutes. It was great.
Amazing. All right. Well, thanks, Akiva. How can people reach out to you on social media and what are you up to?
They could follow me at Kiev, KEV26. We've got the Robin Akiva Nita podcast rolling on. You are on that. You're one of our only two-time guests you're about to become as we try and win Shut Up Tim's money. That's a trivia game that you're hosting on 32 Fans this week, my sports podcast. We did something that has nothing to do with sports. We ranked every country in Europe. We probably a bad idea. Probably the episode will get deleted. I feel like a lot of people will be mad, but you know, we got nothing to do. Football season. There's nothing going on in the NFL. So we brought on noted European Pierre Virilainen this week and we ranked every single country in Europe.
All right. And Kurt, thank you so much for filling in. Obviously more dedication than Mike. So I would love to be your loved one if you ever do play Survivor. But how can people reach out to you on social media?
I am at Kurt Clark with two C's on all your major networks. Not really doing much right now. If you like pictures of food and escape room after photos, I guess then you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. Otherwise, Million Dollar Mile does return to CBS tonight. So I'll be live tweeting about that.
And also just a plug for Kurt. If you are interested in being his loved one on Survivor, you know, Venmo him money. I'm sure you can work something out. And of course, you can follow me on social media at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. So like Akiva mentioned, I'm going to be on Renap this week doing the Win Shut Up Tim's Money thing. So we'll figure that out tomorrow when we record. And also, of course, I'm on Drag Race this week with Brent Wolgamott. Mike of out again.
Jeez,
can you believe it?
You have to time your, like, he'll know this if he has a second kid. You got to time the babies for not busy season. And busy season is different for everyone. Like for me, it's like you don't want to have the kid during football season. My kids are all born like the end of February when there's no sports going on.
I
for
mean,
Mike, The problem is Mike podcasts 12 months a year. So I don't know if he doesn't, if he has like a not busy podcast season, but maybe the summer is less busy for him.
Well, I was thinking if it could be after Survivor ends before like Big Brother starts, like that might be his
early
window.
June. Mike, don't be so selfish next time.
I know. Come on. Okay. Thank you, Scott St. Pierre, for putting all of this together, dealing with our craziness. Of course, a special thanks to Will from America for our theme song, and DJ LaBelle Klein and Jess East, of course, for putting together the bracket. Thank you all for listening, and we'll check you out at your next day.
Mike and Leona gather playing some games, but I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona gather playing some games, but I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.